Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full-court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half-mile stroll. Get those steps in! And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace, to nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist! Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
This episode of the Sportsman's Nation is brought to you by Outdoor Edge and their complete lineup of replaceable and fixed blade knives and game processing kits. Now, in my bag this year, I had the Razor Pro Saw Combo Kit. It comes in a very compact, handy carrying case, and one handle has the replaceable blade knife and the gutting blade. The other handle has the saw that comes with it. So I use the saw to split the pelvis, and I use the gut hook to open up the cavity and the blade to start cutting all the stuff out, right? So it makes cleaning a deer very simple, very easy, and the knife is sharp. And if you've ever had to gut a deer with a dull knife, we all know how much that sucks. So take a look at the Razor Pro Saw Combo Kit and head on over to OutdoorEdge.com and enter the discount code NATION30. That's NATION30 for 30% savings on your purchase.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today I'm talking to Paul McCann. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. I'm glad to have you here. I'm glad to talk some fishing. The weather's warming up and just makes me ready to get out there. So it's a great time to talk about it. Well, Paul, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
We live here in Oklahoma City, and our name of our company is Okie Flipper, and we operate out of our home. Our business is here. Our shop is behind the business where we actually manufacture them. We started building Okie Flipper a couple years ago. We started just for ourselves because they were no longer available. So we were able to, we had the equipment and everything in our shop that we could manufacture them. So we started building them just for ourselves and then created quite an interest in them. People remember the Jugs by Birch, and nobody knows why they just quit all of a sudden. I was able to find out. But as soon as we started putting them on Facebook and eBay and places like that, we got quite an interest in it, and it has grown enormously from there. We do ship them all over the country. Everything is built right here in Oklahoma City. We try our best to use American-made products like our hooks are Eagle Claw and our swivels come from a place in Florida. And, you know, it just, we try to keep everything made in Oklahoma or the U.S. Nothing is Chinese.
Awesome. Sweet. Well, before we get too far into that, into the product itself, I want to take a step back real quick. And just for, you know, in case somebody's listened to this and they've never heard what we're talking about, can you give us just a quick rundown of what is jug fishing?
Jug fishing, the way the Oklahoma game wardens explain it, or it's a floating device with a single line going down. It can either be anchored to the bottom of the lake with a weight, or it can actually float along the lake with a current. Ours are made to where the anchor at the bottom of the lake. They're made with a 1 pound weight. Jug fishing is, you know, a lot of people look down on jug fishing, and it's usually the ones that are, you know, with the $90,000 boats. But, you know, it's really a lot of fun because we can drop the jugs in the water and go play around with the grandkids or whatever for a couple of hours. Then we come back and we check them. We pull the fish off and rebait and put them back in. And people all over jug fish. I mean, it's not just something they do in Oklahoma. They do it everywhere, mostly in the central part of the country, back to the east. Mm-hmm. Once you get out west, the fish are different. They're, mm-hmm. you know, trout and things like that. They don't do jug fishing. Mm-hmm. The jug fishing has always been popular. It's been around. It started out using, you know, milk jugs or just, you know, whatever. My dad was a plumber, and he used the little floats out of the back of the toilets. Mm-hmm. So you just use whatever you had. Mm-hmm. But you have to be careful using jugs that have, you know, antifreeze has been in them or some type of chemical, because that's, you know, you say, well, I wash it out. Well, you never really get it all out. Mm-hmm. And those kind of things don't need to be in our lakes. Mm-hmm. So that's the reason that we feel like our product is, you know, eco-friendly. And there are other products out there that are too, like the noodle jugs. And then there's a couple people that build something similar to ours, but they're not just like it. Mm-hmm. But people jug fish, they trot line. It's just a different way of catching. And most of what you're going to catch is catfish, mm-hmm. because they're made to set. The hooks are close to the bottom, not always on the bottom, but mm-hmm. close. And catfish are typically bottom dwellers, you know, but you do catch other things sometimes. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yeah, so my dad actually was a huge jug fisherman growing up. That's one of his only hobbies was jug fishing. And he took me out when we were in high school, and we went to Texoma because that's where you catch the big fish, you know, according to him. And I remember we were pulling our jugs one time. We had a whole school of stripers came through, and we caught like 6 stripers. And he was talking about how we needed to throw those junk fish back. You know, we were going for the catfish. And so,
yeah.
And you know, his go-to, like you're saying, you can use anything. His go-to was Gatorade bottles, like the, you know, right. not the small ones, but kind of the bigger ones.
Right.
And so we'd set 30, 40 jugs in a set with all Gatorade bottles, and mm-hmm. he'd spray paint them. I think they're supposed to be white, so he'd spray paint them, and he'd even fill some of them with foam in case they, you know, got a hole in them. But yeah, that was his go-to. So
Texoma is a great lake for jug fishing. Mm-hmm. The majority of what we manufacture goes to the Texoma area. Mm. Now we ship them up into Kansas and places like that, but they use them down in Texoma. Yeah. Kansas is one of the few states. Well, there's probably several, but it's one of the states I know of that doesn't allow jug fishing, or they're very, very strict on how you fish with them. Mm. But here in Oklahoma and Texas, it's a big deal. A lot of people jug fish. They're everywhere. I mean, you go to the lake and they're just everywhere. So mm-hmm. it's not something new. They've been for a while.
Right. Awesome. Well, one last quick question before we kind of dive off into your product and describe it. And you mentioned that, you know, some people float the jugs, some people weigh them down. Can you give us a little just rundown of why a person might do one or the other?
Well, sometimes people like to put their jugs in the water and let them float. It would be the same thing as if you were drift fishing in a boat, and they will put them out so they can kind of float with the current, and they're not sitting in one spot. They just kind of drift through the channel or drift, you know, across the lake or whatever. I have seen a few out like that, but they're not just overly popular. Sometimes you see them in rivers, but you have to really keep an eye on them because it won't be long. They'll be out of sight. You won't be able to see them. Mm-hmm. But ours are made to anchor to the bottom. And the way they're made is when a fish gets on and tugs and pulls, a line comes off one side of it and it flips over to red. Well, if it was a float, if you use it as a floating, it probably wouldn't work as well as it does if it's anchored on the bottom.
Gotcha. All right. Let's jump into your product. You've described it a little bit, but why don't you tell us what an Oki Flipper is?
An Oki Flipper is a styrofoam disc. It's 9 inches in diameter and 2 inches thick, and it has a groove cut around the outside edge for you to wind your line up. Each jug comes with 70 feet of line, and it comes with two hooks, two swivels, four beads, 2 liters, and a 1 pound weight for the bottom of your main line. The hooks are not put on the main line because I put them on different places, and a lot of people add more. You can add up to 5 hooks in Oklahoma. You can add up to 5 hooks on a jug line. I satisfied with just 2. It's enough to keep up with. So, and then when you're through, you can wind it up around the groove and bring the weight back over the edge, and there's a little pocket machined out of the styrofoam that the weight just sets right in. And then they store in a 5-gallon bucket. You can put 6 of them in a regular 5-gallon bucket. Some 5-gallon buckets are a little taller, and you can get 7 in them. But some people don't have room in their boat for buckets. I don't. I keep them underneath a seat that runs across the back of the boat. But the bucket deal that we have is called a starter kit. It's very, very popular. That's probably the biggest way we sell our jugs is the starter kit, which is 6 jugs, 6 storage bands, and a 5-gallon bucket with our logo on the side.
Nice. Very nice. And, I mean, I love the idea of wrapping it around the foam itself. You know, that's, I think anybody who's done jug fishing, they know that whatever you're supposed to do with the string, like, that's always the hard part, you know. Like I said, we used to use Gatorade jugs, and you'd wrap it around, but the string would always come off, and the hooks would be flopping around. So, so if you wouldn't mind, just real quick, I know you just described the product, but, like, what are kind of some of the big features that set it apart from, say, a Gatorade jug or, you know, a laundry detergent jug, something like that?
Well, the main thing that Oki Flipper has that other jugs don't have is the way they're designed is when you bait them and drop them in the water and you set them yellow side up, and the way the line comes over the side of the disc and goes down in the water, a fish will come up and pull on it and it flips to red, and it lets you know that you have a fish on or your bait's gone. So, but they work very, very well. Usually if they're red, there's a fish on there. So that's what sets us apart from a Gatorade bottle or anything, is the fact that ours indicate when you have a fish on. Mm-hmm. And usually if it's yellow, you don't need to bother it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And so it's sensitive enough that if, you know, a fish comes up there and pulls on it, takes the bait, it's going to go ahead and flip it to let you know you need to rebait?
It will. And the way you set them up is when you drop them in the water, you raise up the jug to about 3 feet above the surface of the water and bring the line over to the top of the jug and wrap it around a little rosette and pull it in the line, and you drop it over the side. And by giving it that 3 feet of space, that way it doesn't flip over prematurely when a boat goes by with a wave.
Gotcha. Very cool. All right. So now that we know what a Okie Flipper is, let's talk about just jug fishing in general, if that's all right with you.
Yes.
So if you're going to go out and set some jugs, what are some conditions you're looking for? You know, weather, where you're going to put them, you know, how do you decide where you're going to put your jugs?
Well, a lot of people probably won't agree with me, but I don't like going out into the water on a lake when the water's rough. Mm-hmm. And so we typically go out when the wind's not blowing and, not blowing bad, but it just makes it harder to put the jugs out and to set the jugs and pick them back up when the wind's blowing really hard. I usually run the boat. My wife is in the front and she does all the stuff with the jugs. So, but when we usually go to a lake, we usually take enough jugs that we can maybe put them in two or three different places. Mm-hmm. You're in Oklahoma, you're allowed 20 jugs per person. So we rarely take that many, mm-hmm. but anytime you have a shelf that's on the bottom, and you can usually tell with a depth finder, you don't have to have a, you know, $3,000, fish finder. Mm-hmm. You can read the bottom and you can tell when there's a shelf or something and set the jug right along the edge of that shelf. Sometimes you can put them in a channel, but usually it's right up on the shelf. Mm-hmm. You have a feeder or like an little inlet or something that comes into the lake. You can put them right there along that where that meets the main body of the water. That usually is a pretty good place too. We mainly go to one lake. It's up by Stillwater. It's mm-hmm. Carl Blackwell. And we go enough that we know exactly where to put the jugs mm-hmm. so that we get fish. It's not like Texoma where you're capable of getting a 60 or 70 pound fish, mm-hmm. but most of the fish are, you know, 3 to 10 pounds, which mm-hmm. is a good size to eat. Mm-hmm. And we usually, depending on the water temperature, depending on, you know, what the weather is outside, whether it's been raining, it's cloudy or whatever, all those things are a factor. And how the fish is going to bite. They typically bite better first thing in the morning and late in the evening. So you just have to be prepared to run them near dark and be able to get in to the boat ramp or wherever, because after the sun goes down, it gets a little difficult if you don't have markers. But you can fish with just about anything, any kind of bait. I may be getting ahead of myself here, but we 90% of the time we use shrimp. Sometimes we use goldfish, sometimes we use perch. Some people use hot dog weenies soaked in Kool-Aid and garlic powder. Mm. I mean, that's a lot of people think that's great. I've never done any good with that. But probably the all-time best thing to jug fish with would be live shad. Mm-hmm. And live shad is considered a game fish in Oklahoma. So you can't buy them. Mm-hmm. The only way you can get them is you have to catch them with a throw net. And Carl Blackwell is one of the few lakes in Oklahoma that throw net is not allowed. But they are allowed in Texoma. Every striker guide in Texoma has a throw net because that's what they fish with. Mm-hmm. It's a great bait. I mean, you ask anybody that's caught great big fish, and I have customers that send me pictures of 60 and 70 and 80 pound catfish. They catch them on shad, live shad, not frozen shad, live shad.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Awesome. Awesome. I want to back up just a second when you were talking about, you know, like the plateaus and stuff. So you're setting the jugs on the top side or off the edge?
No, on the top side of the ledge.
Top side. You just solved my problem of what I've been doing wrong. There you go.
catfish are not always sitting on bottom. Mm-hmm. My wife and I are scuba divers and have been for almost 50 years. So, when you're down, you can see, we always dove around 10 killer and there were some very large fish in 10 killer. And you didn't always see them at you know, sitting on the bottom of the lake. They could be in 20 feet of water. Mm-hmm. They're sitting near the bottom, but it's in 20 feet of water. So, and they don't move around a lot. Sometimes they're kind of opportunity fish. You know, you had the fish at the bait has to be almost right in front of them before they'll move and go get it. Mm-hmm. So, that's the reason a lot of people like a live bait, whether it be shad or cat or goldfish or perch or whatever, because the bait will move around a little bit. Hmm. But it has a large part of it just preference. You
know? Yeah. Huh. So again, going back to my dad, cause he taught me everything I know about jug fishing. He, another lake that we would go to a lot, he remembered before the lake was there, you know, like he knew where all the creek channels and fences and all that stuff were. And, so he was always looking for the creek channels and we'd always set them, you know, or try to set the jugs right in the middle of the creek channel. And sure. So, but yeah, now I'm wondering if we basically should have been moving them over 10 or 15 feet to the bank.
Right. Mm-hmm. We catch a lot of nice fish in 6 feet of water. I've got jugs that are set up where I typically set my jugs up where the first hook is 4 feet off the bottom, the next hook is 8 feet up. I mean, another 4 feet, so that gives it 8 feet. But the ones I rigged for shallow water are only 2 feet off the bottom and then 2 feet to the next jug. And sometimes that's where they are. I mean, it's really exciting to start putting your jugs out and you've already put out five or six and you look back and they're all red already.
Yeah.
So, and then you get up. I had a customer tell me that he pulled up, he had them in Texoma and he got right up next to the jug to reach down and get it, and it went completely out of the water. He out of sight, couldn't see it. And, you know, he knew it was going to be a big one, and it was. Mm-hmm. And it was. But typically people that catch great big fish, like 60 and 70 pounds, they raise them up and take pictures with everybody, and then they let them go. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I would do, too. I've never caught one that big, but yeah. I don't think they taste as well.
Right, right.
You know, up to about 20 pounds is what most people say they keep to, you know, for to eat. But
I got to ask, you said you put 70 feet of line on your jugs. Have you ever set them 70 feet deep?
I have not. The deepest I've ever set mine, I believe, is about 40. Mm-hmm. And that was when we went to Lake Hall, I believe. I have never, I mean, I've been to several lakes around Oklahoma, but I've never gone to Texoma. Texoma is a big lake.
Yeah.
And where you're going, when the sun goes down, you can get lost. Mm-hmm. So, and not only that, but you get out in the middle of the lake and or in the lake and the wind gets up, you'll think you're on the ocean.
I mean,
just the waves are just very, very large. Mm-hmm. So, I don't personally go to Texoma, but it is a great jug fishing lake.
Yeah. I was just wondering if you put that, you know, I wasn't sure if that was the secret to catching a Volkswagen sized catfish. If you had to be 70 feet deep. So.
Well, you know, we have people in Texoma that request 120 feet of line on them. Mm. And I do that no extra charge. They just got to tell me and I'll wind them up and some of them want me to put extra hooks and swivels, and they'll, you know, they pay extra for that. But good customers, and we have some great customers. They call us back time and time again. Unfortunately, Texoma and even Eufaula and Thunderbird up here, they're having a real problem with people stealing jugs, not just the fiber type, but anything. Mm-hmm. And these striper guides are losing them out of their boat. Mm. At an alarming rate, and not just jugs, they steal their rods and reels and everything.
Yeah.
And it's getting to be real problem. But they call us up and order another, you know, 20 or 30 or whatever they need.
That's sad to hear. But I appreciate you giving everybody a warning. So if anybody's listening, you know, lock your stuff up. So.
You know, the main thing that people, when you buy the fishing jugs, You need to know what the rules are. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people put jugs out, they don't put their name on them. Mm-hmm. And a ranger will come by and he looks at it and there's no name on it, he'll pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have your name, you need to have your address on there.
Mm-hmm.
And that will keep the ranger, they won't keep it from getting stolen.
Yeah.
But it'll keep it, you know, the ranger from picking them up. Mm-hmm. But so, and the other rules and regulations of the lake, some of the lakes like Carl Blackwell is not like it's owned by OSU. There's different rules, mm-hmm. and people need to know it. City lakes are different than state lakes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing. Don't get in trouble. Mm-hmm. Ignorance is no excuse, and the game wardens are probably some of the toughest people out there. So I don't know that I ever got a warning from a game warden. So.
Yeah. All right. So I have two questions here, but I'm going to try to kind of roll them into one. I was going to ask you about, you know, the depth that you fish, but we've talked about that a little bit. But how does that, connect to the time of year? Like, do you fish shallower in the summer and deeper in the winter or vice versa? Does that play a part in all at all?
I think it has even winter, summer, it's all about water temperature. Mm-hmm. And, cause we've had some pretty mild winters where the water never got super cold, probably too cold to swim in. But I think when the water's colder, I think the fish are deeper. I know they are. So, and there's, when it's nice and warm, they're in shallower spots, like I said, up into the shallows. And, you know, catfish are, I'll touch on it again, catfish are not, the big ones are not in 100 feet of water, or the people who noodle would never be able to get them.
Right.
And so they're in 4 to 6 feet of water. They're just up in these holes, and you just got to dangle something out there for them to eat, and they'll grab it. So the temperature, or the whether it's winter or summer, it's more about water temperature.
Hmm. I like it. And just to kind of reiterate, the colder it is, the deeper you tend to fish?
I think, yes, I do. And the warmer it is, the shallower. So there's people in Texoma that fish. It doesn't make any difference how cold it is, how windy it is. They're just prepared, and they go out and fish. Hmm. We have three dealers, and that's where they're all at Texoma.
Hmm. Do you ever see a situation where you might be fishing, say, water that's 20 feet deep, but you're setting your hooks up at, you know, 5 feet, like something like that?
You mean 5 feet off of the surface?
Right, yeah.
No.
No?
No, I don't ever fish that. Not out in, no. If the water's 20 foot deep, my hooks are going to be closer to the bottom.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we talked about boats a little bit earlier, too, but... just to, you know, let some people know, like you said, you know, one of the advantages to jug fishing is you don't have to have a crazy expensive boat. What type of boat do you prefer for jugging?
Well, the best kind of boats that you can get for jug fishing is something that's very shallow and doesn't set up out of the water very far, so you could reach over and get the jugs. Mm-hmm. We just have a small 17-foot IO, mm-hmm. because we have grandkids and they like to, you know, play in the water as well. So it has to serve both purposes. Mm-hmm. Pontoon boats are very popular with jug fishermen, because they can lay down on the front, just reach over and grab the jugs. And both my children have pontoon boats and they run jugs out of them without any trouble. Mm-hmm. And pontoon boats seem to do better in rough water. So.
Gotcha. Yeah, my dad, he actually went to Louisiana and bought a boat from a guy that was, using it basically in the swamp. You know, it wasn't technically a swamp boat. It was just a fancy John boat, but it had the floats on the back to kind of, you know, help with flotation, and had little bitty sides, and it was an awesome jug fishing boat. But we did have a scary moment or two out on Texoma with that thing, because that's the disadvantage of having the short sides.
Yes, it is.
And
yes.
So we never got out in that deep water in that thing.
But a shallow boat like that is perfect. And mm-hmm. you go to some of these tournaments that they have, and you'll see a lot of people in those kind of boats, because they're not out there to impress anybody. They're out there to catch fish.
Yeah.
Unlike unlike some of the other fishermen, it's more of a status symbol to have a $90,000 boat run past you 60 miles an hour. So I've always...
Yeah, but, you know, the other cool thing is you could even buy a, you know, $600 little John boat and put a trolling motor on it and run jugs in it if you wanted to.
You certainly can. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
I've seen people run them out of these kayaks down at Thunderbird. So, yeah, you can run them out of anything. It's hard to do it from the bank, but unless you're wading out there. But, yeah, you can. You don't need a fancy boat. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
All righty. You've touched on it off and on a few times, but if you wouldn't mind giving us just kind of a quick rundown of just the basic laws in Oklahoma, number of hooks, number of jugs, that type of thing.
According to the Oklahoma laws, and I checked them before, you're allowed 20 jugs per person. Mm-hmm. And that's actually how some of these striper guides can take 50 jugs with them out in the water because they have that many customers in a boat. Mm-hmm. And you can have up to 5 hooks on the line. Other than that, and they don't, they cannot, the float cannot be metallic or glass. It has to be basically plastic or styrofoam or something like this. Mm-hmm. But those are really the only regulations. But I've been told, and I can't find any information on it, that some lakes don't like braided line, and people are getting to use braided line for, you know, a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Other people don't like it because it'll get up inside the prop shaft on your boat a lot easier than monofilament line will because it's so small and it's very, very strong. Mm-hmm. So some people like it and some people don't. I don't have braided line on anything I own, my reels or my jugs or anything. Mm-hmm. Our jugs are, they have a 100-pound test line, so it's heavy enough that you can pull pretty hard. Mm-hmm. It can be broken, but it's not easy.
Mm-hmm. And what about, you know, there's a lot of people out there using like twine, or, you know, some kind of string like you'd buy at Walmart or whatever. Do you see any advantage or disadvantage to that as opposed to just, you know, heavy monofilament or something?
Well, in our case, if you use a nylon line similar to something like parachute cord or something like that, the groove on the side of the jug itself wouldn't hold 70 feet of line. Mm. So it'd be a disadvantage because you wouldn't be able to put much line on it.
Gotcha.
But a lot of people, I mean, that's a common trot line material. Mm-hmm. But in our case, the 100-pound test line seems to be, you know, I always have people telling me what to change it to. And, you know, I've had them tell me I need to make the jugs 2 feet in diameter and all this kind of stuff. But we'll just stick with our product the way we're doing it. Most, you know, majority of our customers are satisfied with that.
So. Yeah. Good, good. All right. You also talked about this a little bit, but I just want to run back to it. The best size fish to keep. You know, you mentioned people throwing back big fish, and I tend to agree with that too. We've eaten some big ones, and just wasn't quite as good. I think you said earlier maybe 2 to 20 pounds or something like that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, 2 to 3 pounds up to about 20 pounds is what most people will keep them. There are people who eat the great big ones, but most of what we catch at Carl Blackwell are 3 to 5 pounds, and they're just right to fillet and cook up.
Gotcha. And correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think Oklahoma has a minimum requirement on catfish. Is that right?
On size?
Right. Yeah.
Actually, I think they do, but I don't know what it is. I could, you know, a person could Google it real easy under Oklahoma laws, but I think that it does have a minimum size.
Okay.
They may have a amount in of how many you can catch per person. I think personally never had that problem, but
yeah,
but my wife and I, you know, when the ice chest is full, we typically come home because we don't have any place else to put them.
Yeah.
And we've brought an ice chest home full many times. So,
yeah.
But
Yeah, I think I've read somewhere, it depends a little bit by lake, but I want to say some places are up to like 25 fish per person or something like that. So.
Right, I think that's right.
Yeah. So. That's a pretty good day.
Oh, yes, for sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I got one quick fun question that I'm going to surprise you with, but don't worry. Okay. It's not too crazy. What's your favorite way to cook catfish? Are you just a traditional, you know, put them in the fryer, or do you have a special recipe or something?
We deep fat fry everything. Uh-huh. My wife has three different, batters that she uses. And what we do, all the fish we catch throughout the summer, we eat just a little bit of it. We save the rest, and we have a big fish fry for our family and friends about September. And we cook, she has a beer batter that she uses, and then she has a regular cornmeal batter, and then she has a cornmeal that has cayenne pepper in it. Hmm. And it's pretty much all gone when people are finished. But yeah, we deep fat fry everything. I'm from Oklahoma, and I thought that was the way you ate everything.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Gotcha. I kind of had a feeling that would be your answer, but I just decided I'd ask, you know, just in case. So, well, Paul, I think that's just about going to do it for me. Any other random things you can think of?
No, not. I think we covered it pretty well.
All right. Real quick before we shut it down, why don't you tell everybody, you know, where they can find you and how they can buy your products?
We have a website. It's called www.okieflipper.com. We're on Facebook. And, of course, you can go on our website. And if you live in the Oklahoma City area, you can come by and pick them up at our house, and you don't have to pay for shipping. We do have three dealers in the Texas area, or Texoma area. Bettis Farm and Garden, which is our biggest dealer. He buys between 300 and 400 jugs a year. Then we have a new dealer at Tadpole Marine, which is in Meade, which is just right there by Texoma. And then we have one at Little Glasses. Those are the three dealers that we have. We don't have one up in the Northeast yet. We're working on that. And we're also getting things lined out so we can sell them on Amazon.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, like I said, I think that's about all I got. I really appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Paul. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Thank you again.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.